Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth.
And sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hey there.
Welcome to the show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to value houses. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Matt asks, hey guys, I did a few searches on the forums. I couldn't find anything specific about the topic of how to build a buyer's list. I've heard it mentioned of manually pulling emails of paid LandWatch users in your areas and asking if they'd be interested in being buyers. I've also heard mention of people systemizing the process of scraping those emails. This is all good stuff. It looks like it may be a good idea to keep one property up on eBay at all times and adding those people to a buyer's list. It looks like managing your buyer's list through AWeber is currently the best option. This is doing a lot of work here. I'm really impressed. I wasn't able to find a definitive, this is the best way to do it, or do these three things every week. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who would benefit from this thread. Hopefully the group can get some good actionable items from this thread. So my question to everyone is, if you were to build a buyer's list from scratch today, how would you do it? And how would you structure your emails to your buyer's list? Thanks.
Outstanding question.
Yeah.
Matt. Plus, you're thinking out of the box. I think you've asked a few other questions that haven't made it as far as the show on the landinvestors.com community, and this is top notch. So I'm going to do my best to answer your question. Drop everything and go to landwatch.com and go to the signature area. In fact, I do a YouTube video on how to do this. So if you go to our YouTube channel, landacademy.com, I actually show you how to do it on the computer. It's incredibly simple and fast. Literally takes about 30 minutes, and you're going to have maybe 50 to 100 of the best land buyers in the country. Go to the signature area, right-click on any given email. You're going to see each state by state, it lists the land owner or the signature. It costs a lot of money to be a signature level member at LandWatch.
It's like $500 a month.
Yeah. So
from what I remember.
So click on... First, try to do it with one. Click on the person's email in that the notice of all their contact information, and then save as, and you'll copy it to Word or anywhere else on your desktop, and you're going to get their email address. So do that for all 50 to 100. I'm not sure how many. Every time I look, the list gets bigger. These are the people that are real serious land buyers and sellers, and that's the beginning of your A list. Since you're interested in doing this on an ongoing basis, which is incredibly positive. Continue to do that, I don't know, once a month maybe. Then post a Craigslist ad in the area that you're working. Let's say it's Montana, for example. I'm just throwing any location out there. Post a Craigslist ad saying you've got a bunch of property that you want to buy or you want to sell. You'll get some people that way. But the absolute best way, without a doubt, to get great buyers and probably will result in immediate sales is to go to RealQuest, which you already have a subscription to, and take a look at who owns property in the immediate area of the properties that you want to sell. So if it is Montana or one county in Montana, like Sweetwater, I guess, Wyoming, or I'm drawing a blank on counties in Montana, you'll see their names and addresses and drop them a little note. And we're anti-postcard here at Land Investors, but this is an appropriate time to send out a postcard. You will get a ton of buyers that way. So I hope that answers the question, Jill. I mean, what do you think, Jill?
I would honestly say if you wanted to build up your email list and make sure they're interested, I would have no trouble because you can manually enter people into AWeber. That's who we use the most for our email list, and create a group. And you can send them an email asking them to reply, or at least say, I've added you to my group. Here's the kind of stuff that I have available and what's coming up. And if you're not interested, they can easily opt out and, no harm, no foul. And if they are interested, if they don't do anything, you got a good list too, by the way. I think that would be really good, because there's several that hit me up like just exactly like we're talking about, and I'm like, yeah, I'll be on your list because I want to see what you got going on. I want to see your prices. So when people do that to me, I don't opt out. I sit right there on their list because it's for me, it's research even sometimes, and for a lot of them, they want to be on your list because you never know what comes along. I might be interested in something that comes my way.
Yeah, put us on your list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a million lists too, Jill. I'm sure Jill's on. I'm on a house list, apartment building list. I have no intention of ever for the rest of my life buying an apartment building, but I'm on the list because I just want to see.
So what would you say? So I'm saying, so to Matt, to summarize, once a month, do the land watch scrape.
Yep.
Once a month, and whoever's not already in your thing, add them. Once a month, do a Craigslist or something like that. Or eBay, maybe rotate?
Yeah, and eBay thing's always good. But the thing about eBay is that the quality, you're going to get a consumer, the end user buyer. So while I'm not discouraging it, I think
it's not the best.
Yeah. eBay's not what it used to be.
Right.
But again, who can resist this sentence? Hey, I saw in the county records that you own a piece of property in XYZ County. Well, I just bought 13 pieces of property, or I'm negotiating 13 deals in this immediate area, and I'm extremely confident that they're a lot less than what you paid. Let me know if you'd like to see what I have.
Mm-hmm.
That goes for houses and everything else, which you're about to talk about with houses.
Mm-hmm.
This is, who can resist that?
Right.
In fact, what might end up happening is they might say, hey, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to say, I would love to buy some more property there. Or they're going to say, man, I've never used the property that I bought there anyway. How about you buy mine too?
Right. Exactly.
So it's very, very healthy.
I thought of one more thing too that's really, really good is to, on your website, have a place where people can opt in. So when they find you and they find your site and they're looking at your property, have a box on the side where they can opt in. Like, hey, don't see the property that you're looking for, but want to be on my buyer's list. Sign up here and you'll get a monthly, weekly, bi-monthly, whatever it is. Let them know what kind of email you're going to send out and, of available property. Let them opt in. And then you could even put that on social media, on your Facebook page and stuff like that too, because you'll get people that will just find you.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I keep this, the answer to this question is clearly going to go on forever because I keep thinking of good things.
I know.
Social media, man, I'll tell you, our top sellers in our group, buyers and sellers, they buy property and they post it all over social media, and then you can track the analytics in a tremendous amount of detail. Who clicked on it, who responded to it, who looked at it, and then Facebook groups specifically. Groups, there's tons of property groups, like rural land property groups, where people are really interested in buying this stuff. So, and you can track that. But here's what, in the end, you're like, here's where Jill and I are after 20 years of doing this. What ends up happening is you find probably 5 to 10 buyers who essentially just buy anything because you've established trust with them. So that's how,
right.
We don't post property to the public anymore because it's too much work. What we do is we just say, before we pull the trigger on any acquisition, I don't care what it is, a ranch, a house, or a piece of land, or a rural piece of land, we call our guys and say, how about we lop this into this month's acquisition for you? And they say, okay. Or they say, oh my gosh, no. Which they almost never say. So you'll eventually find 5 or 10 people that they want to buy everything from you.
Right.
But it takes some work and it takes some time. But man, you're asking the right questions. And and you're actually, what I love about this question, Jill, is he provides like 4 solutions right in his question.
I know, Matt, you're already answering your so it's perfect. Matt, yes, yes, and yes.
That's right. So do it all. And what makes sense for you will make sense.
Yep.
We were the largest land seller on eBay for years. And we consequently have a, 25,000 buyer list. 25,000 unit buyer list. So it's no surprise we found, 5 to 10 people who really want to buy everything out of that kind of group. So the wider you cast the net, the better buyers you're going to get and get down to the end, so to speak.
It sounds like dating. I just related to dating. I was waiting for you to do it. I'm like, here it comes. It's like the more you date, the more you're going to find that special one. So Matt, up your numbers.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, how to value houses. I love valuing property. This is a blast for me. So the rest of you, can you just turn your MP3 player, just turn it off.
Right.
This show is really just for me, I guess.
No.
It's not for Jill, I'll
tell
you that.
I made some notes. Are you serious?
You have some notes?
I totally have some notes.
Awesome.
I show up, babe.
How to value houses. So, you know, appraisers who are, if you get a loan on a house to buy it, or you need a, you know, the mortgage, the company wants you to have an appraiser. That's not what the show is about. It's not, this isn't about appraisal 101. This is about how I value houses before we send out a mailer, an acquisition mailer, so that we can get some results and actually buy some property. That's really what this show is about. So I wonder if your notes are applied to that.
No, they really don't. No, they're just kidding. Yeah, they kind of do. You know what? They do. Do you want to hear my notes?
I would love,
notes?
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so here's my notes that I made about this, about how to value houses, because I know where you're going with this. And what I look at is, or what I think that I would look at, what you look at is, you know, what's for sale, what's available. You know, you want to find a good mix of, like, what's for sale? Because comps from a year ago are really not accurate, everyone. If that's the best that you can find, by the way. But what's really out there right now for sale is a good indication of where I want to come in way under, number one. You know, and what is actually selling? All right, what are these people paying for these properties, like, right now or in the last 30 days? So I know you're going to talk a lot more about this. And my other note was not the assessed value. And do you want me to share my
sure,
figure?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So where this is, I know I'm kind of jumping around here and you're going to bring it all back together, Jack. So, but I was just going to say, if you're looking in an area, like I was just doing a little looking before the show, and like I know the certain area here at the beach where homes are selling easy $4 million. But guess what the assessed value is? I just went and looked up a particular home I know for sale for $4 million. The total assessed value is 2.1. Look at the difference. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
So now please, Jack, bring it home. Please.
Well, I mean, Jill's 100% right. Never look at assessed value. Just forget it. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget assessed value. It has nothing to do with valuing real estate. All the assessed value is, for the record, is a way for the assessor in that specific county and whatever cockamamie scheme they've concocted to come up with that number to assess your tax rate and how much your property taxes are. So the same house in Michigan versus California that has the exact same tax rate, the amount of money taxes that you pay, might have a $300,000 assessed value and one might have a $2.2 million assessed value, but the taxes are the same.
Why do you think, Jack, that people get hung up on that? I hear so many people saying that, well, it's assessed at this, so it's worth that. And why do people think that?
For two reasons. Number one, they got some really bad information. Maybe they're married to an appraiser. And I'm not knocking appraisers, but I'm just saying that it's not a way to value real estate. But when you look at a line it up, and the second reason is when you look at a bunch of data, let's say you look at a whole list of data of houses in one little town somewhere, and you're staring at the addresses in one column, and the next column is there's a thing called value. So it's hard to just throw it away, especially if you're brand new. That's why.
Okay.
So, but I mean, the takeaway from what Jill said is just forget it. Forget assessed value. It's meaningless. Just so pretend we're in school for a second, and this is appraisal 101, and you just, you know, you sit down at a desk and you're ready to be an appraiser. And the first thing the instructor says is there's three ways to value real estate. Some of them pertain to us and some of them aren't. I'm going to take all the malarkey out of it for you. There's the cost approach, right? How much it costs to replace a property. With land, we don't care about that, so throw it away. Check, we don't need to worry about that. Number two, there's three ways. Number two is the sales comparison approach, recent comparison values. Well, if you've ever tried to get recent sales comparison values on a rural piece of acreage, good luck, because it's all over the map, and here's why. The recorded sales, maybe Jill deeded a property to Maine, and we sold it for a dollar. Maybe the most recent sales comparison value that had nothing to do with the internet or a real estate agent or the MLS was through their brother-in-law. So it's a related third-party transaction. So you know where I'm going with this. It's tough to get sales comparison that are real. And the third way is an income capitalization approach, which is a long way to say cap rate, which is how commercial real estate investors assess cash flowing real estate, apartment buildings, office buildings, strip malls, all that. Well, that doesn't apply to us either. So now we got that out of the way, the technical classroom stuff. What the heck? What's the answer then, Jack? The answer is existing for sale property. That is how you value a house or a piece of land, in my opinion. So you go to a very reliable place where there is for sale property. The multiple listing service, anywhere like Zillow, Trulia, anywhere that you can, where there's a lot of properties for sale. I love Redfin personally, and they haven't been around for too long, but man, they have a great computer interface, and you can really sort by map, which I think is important. Sort with a map. And you take a look at what, I don't know, the average price per square foot of the average home in a 2 or 3 block radius. So this, there's a one or two takeaways from this whole episode. This is one of them. Don't go too far out of 1 or 2 or 3 blocks. So if you know anything about real estate at all, in fact, if you've ever lived in a piece of real estate, which I think is all of us, you know how different one block from the next block could be. There might be huge houses one block over from where you live, or you might live in a huge house and then 2 blocks over, there's tiny little ones. So you want to make sure you have, the first thing is you want to make sure you're looking at like-kind real estate. And then try to get an average price per square foot. Let's say it's $100 a foot, $125, $130 per square foot of average for sale listed property. And then you want to value that, how you value your mailer, which is really what this is about, at about 70% of that, maybe 60% in some cases. What you're looking for is somebody who just, who's going through some type of life event and they're done. They'd like to sell you the property just to kind of get out of it. And they're knowing full well that it's a reduced value from retail for sale property. And then the whole goal is to take that, buy the property, mark it up a little bit within reason, and make sure the person that you're selling it to, who you're wholesaling it to, is going to make more money after they clean it up. That's the whole way to value houses, in my opinion. What do you think, Joe?
I love it. I mean, I'm like over here going, I have nothing. You just pulled it all together and yes.
So I just, the reason that I wanted to do this show today is to, because I just pulled a data set from a small town in California that actually is going to hit the mail next week. And we'll see what happens. But I spent, my last point here, my final point on how to value houses and pricing is that to this day, I mean, I've sent millions and millions and millions of offers out over the years to property owners. And we haven't talked about it recently, but we've done almost 16,000 transactions since we started doing this.
Right.
And what I've learned is that even to this day, it takes me maybe 2 full days not to do a mailer, but just to price it properly. I don't go line by line, but to find that perfect equation per square foot, I always use per square foot feet in houses, find that perfect equation of for sale property times what? Times 0.72 if it's 72%, or 0.65 if it's 65%. Because it's a balance between how fast do I want to buy it and resell it, or do I want to, you know, hit a home run if it's like ranches, movie star ranches. If you've listened to previous episodes, we talk about that. So it's very, very, it's imperative to price mailers correctly. And, you know, it takes a lot of practice. You're not going to do it the first time out perfectly.
Thank you for sharing that, Jack, because I talk to people and I hear a lot of people trying to rush through this. And this is one of those things that you don't want to rush through. You really want to spend some time on it. And I find myself often telling our people, please go back and spend some more time. The data's all right there. You have everything you need. Please get to know this stuff. So thank you, Jack.
There's a lot of resources on, you're welcome, a lot of resources on YouTube about how to do this. And Jill and I have done full-blown education programs. And then when you're ready to get into the mail, we just released a company last week called Offers Number Two, offers2owners.com, where you simply call an 800 number and we get the stuff in the mail for you. Join us in another episode where we discuss choosing a real estate specialization. That's actually the topic.
Exactly. And we answer Joshua's question about picking a county and agricultural land use. Ought to be good.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Hey, you like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.